His mother Mary was pledged. She was bound to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Thank you. You may be seated. God bless you. He's mad because we cut it short, didn't he? I'm going to ask Randy Denny, one of our elders, to come and pray over the word.
Lord God, we just thank you for this time to lift you up, and thank you, Lord, that your gift never gets old, Lord. Every day, every night, throughout the night, Lord. Just pray that your word would go forth. Please bless Pastor Tom as your word comes forth. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 1 if you haven't already. And we're going to spend just a few minutes in the Word. I am mindful that it is Christmas and that it is 11:35, but we want to spend a few minutes in the Word together. Amen? There is in the bulletin an outline. You should have received that. That will go along with the message, and invite you to follow along with that and the PowerPoint presentation. This message is really part two from our message last night that we had in the Christmas Eve service. How many of you opened your gifts this morning? How many of you cheated and opened gifts last night? Yeah, a few of you, right? That's okay, because gift giving is a nice thing, though it really doesn't have a whole lot to do with Christmas. We want to talk for a few minutes about the best present of all during Christmas time, the true and best present of all. As we looked at these scriptures, as we celebrated together, as we've heard the offerings in song, and even the Charlie Brown presentation, wasn't that wonderful? To realize that was done 30 plus years ago or 40 plus years ago, and it's really timeless. And oh, that our society could lay hold of that truth today. But as we look at these offerings today and this passage of Scripture, we see that truly the best present of all that God has for us is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took on flesh and became Emmanuel, God with us. He became Emmanuel, God with us. As we've read the scripture here, and the angel speaking to Joseph declares from the prophecy of Isaiah, some 800 years before Christ was born, he declares what would happen, that the virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and you are to call him Emmanuel. And so, this is a fulfillment of prophecy that the Lord had given through his prophet Isaiah 800 years before the time of Christ, before Christ came into the world. As we break it down together, there's several other things that I want to focus on. A couple of things for those of you who were last night will be second time around. But number one, we see that the angel declares to Joseph that the Holy Spirit has conceived the Son. The Holy Spirit conceived Son, and His name is to be Jesus, or Yeshua, because He will save His people from their sins. This is what the angel declares. So, there's several things we want to look at. Number one, how is this possible that God the Son, who has been with God the Father from eternity past, how is it possible that He would come into this world? And the angel explains it, says, "For the Holy Spirit shall conceive in your womb a son." And so, God the Son was not born like or conceived like normal humans are, but rather the Holy Spirit conceives, and we have the begotten Son who comes and puts on flesh. This is a fulfillment of this prophecy. For 700 years, the Jewish scribes had translated this word that the virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child. The virgin shall be with child. There are modern scholars today and over the past 25 years that said, oh, that doesn't mean virgin. It means a young maiden. But we know, already got one, dear brother. Thank you. We know that the Jewish scribes, up to the time of Christ, translated it virgin. And it was only after Jesus Christ's birth that they began to change and try to find a way around celebrating Christ and His coming and conception, the virgin conception. By the way, the virgin conception is referring to Jesus' virgin conception. It's not referring to Mary's virgin conception. That is a bit of church tradition, man-made tradition, that was brought into the Catholic Church several hundred years later. In fact, I believe it was only in 1848 that one of the popes declared that to be true doctrine, that Mary was conceived miraculously. But the Jewish scribes translated this verse that the virgin shall be with child from Isaiah 7:14. And now this angel is declaring that this Jesus who is to be born, this Son, is the fulfillment of that prophecy. The second thing he says is that this Son shall come in the flesh and will live among us. Think about that with me for just a moment. God, who we know is spirit and does not have a physical body like we do, God sent His Son, who then put on flesh, put on skin and bones, muscles and sinews like you and me. How is that possible? It's the miracle of the Holy Spirit conception. God the Son was conceived of the Spirit, thereby putting on flesh, so that He could come and live among us. I've often used the illustration of the ants, that if I wanted to somehow communicate with ants, then the best way would be for me to become an ant, because I don't think ants are going to listen to me. In fact, the moment I go near them, they look up and they see this big guy compared to them, and they scurry away. They just leave. They're terrified. Maybe they shake their little ant fists at me as they're running away, but they know that I can squash them. They know that in a moment I could take them out. And so the best way to communicate with an ant is for me to become an ant. But that's not possible, is it? How could I become an ant? It's just not humanly possible. But God, knowing that we can barely comprehend Him, in fact, it's only by revelation that we understand Him at all, knew that He had to send His Son in the form of man. And so, as John says, the Word became flesh, the Son of God, the Word became flesh, and made His dwelling among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, the only begotten, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so, this is the second aspect of the fulfillment of this prophecy, that she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, and he will be Emmanuel, God with us. So God put on flesh. And that third aspect is this, that the name that he is given. You shall call him Jesus. You shall name him Jesus. Why that name? Well, in the Hebrew, it's Yeshua. And that means the Lord saves. Yeh is a shortened form of Yahweh, and Shua is salvation. So Yahweh saves. The Lord will save us. The Lord will save his people from their sins. And so we looked at this last night, and to wrap up that section, I want to have us read together John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. And Luke Glasgow is going to read that for us.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God.
Thank you, Luke. Bless you. And so, God has sent his only Son. The light has come into the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And so, everyone who receives the Son receives the light. Isn't it interesting that evil and crime happens at night in the darkness? Why is it that people do criminal things, mostly. Of course, that's changing now. But in the main, they do it in the darkness. Why? Because they don't want to be seen. They want to keep hidden. And so it is that for all of us, we must receive the light so that our lives come out of the darkness and are seen for what they are, and then we receive Christ, the light, who brings light into our lives. And so, number two, then, we receive this gift, the gift of God's Son, by putting our faith in Christ. We trust in what he has done for us, and we invite him into our lives. We talked about this last night, and the fact that the gift of God's Son to us is not automatic. It's not something that is just given to everyone. But rather, you must receive this gift personally. You must, by an act of your will, put your faith in Christ and invite him into your life. We see this from John chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, and Bruce Gordon will read that for us. John chapter 1, verses 10 through 13.
We receive this gift by putting our faith in Christ. We trust in what he has done for us, and we invite him into our lives. But that's not it.
That's a good part.
You going to put the right one up here, or I'm going to do it with you?
You got it.
Okay, let's try again. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God.
I believe that's it. Thank you, brother. So, to be a child of God, you must have the right to become the child of God. Now, how do you receive that right? It says, for those who received him, for those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. You and I receive the right, the legal right, to be Christ's possession by receiving him by faith into our lives. My question for us this morning, for each one of us, is have you received this best present? Have you received Christ's love and forgiveness into your life by His Spirit? Have you received Him into your life? As we look at the early church, the early believers, not only did they celebrate Christ's birth, but then they celebrated His death and resurrection, and something more. They celebrated the gift that God was giving to them of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through 39, talks about what their response was when the gospel was preached. And Jeremy Denny will read that for us. Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through 39.
Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all of who are far off, for all of whom the Lord our God will call."
Amen. Thank you, Jeremy. And so, to repent means to turn away from unbelief, to put your faith in Christ. And when we do that, we receive, we invite Christ in, and He comes in by His Spirit. So again, have you received God's Christmas gift to you? Have you received the best present of all? Have you received Christ into your life and that light that He brings to each one of us? When we do that, when we invite Christ in personally, then number three, God lives in us by His Spirit, and we become His temple, His dwelling place, and His sons and daughters. You receive the right to become His daughter. You receive the right to become His son when you invite Christ into your life. This is the ultimate outcome of God's Christmas gift to us. This is what God planned from the beginning after the fall. Because the fall destroyed that relationship that we have with God. But God renewed and restored this relationship through His Son Christ, and He gave us a deposit. He gave us a deposit of His Spirit, and then will call us to be His sons and daughters, even His temple. Think with me for just a moment. In those days, the Bible days, temples were a place where the supposed God lived, and people went to bring their offerings and to sacrifice and to worship this particular God. But many, many hundreds of years before that, the one true living God says, "Will God live in anything made by human hands? Will God live even in a wonderful temple?" David had in his heart to build a temple for the Lord, and his son Solomon ultimately was the one that built it. But God said to them, "Does God live in a man-made vessel? Does God live in a man-made temple?" No. Rather, God lives by His Spirit in human hearts. And so, we read in the New Testament from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 16b through 18, the section that talks about God making us into His temple. And Jay Johns will read that passage of Scripture together.
What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said, "I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty."
Amen. Sons and daughters of God. How is that possible? It is possible because His Spirit comes to live in you and me when we receive Christ, when we receive this Christmas gift. So God's plan is fulfilled. It was fulfilled with Christ coming and being Emmanuel, God in the flesh on the earth. And then it is fulfilled in us as we receive Christ and we receive His Spirit. He makes us His temple, His dwelling place. God actually lives by His Spirit in you and me when we receive Christ into our lives. I know that's a hard concept for us to understand because we are so fleshly. we can barely comprehend God and His workings in our life. But the reality is, as so many have given testimony today, is that God works in each one of us by His Spirit. He answers prayer. He opens our heart and our mind to His truth. He moves in our life with His love, His mercy, and His grace. And we become more and more like Jesus. So God's plan is fulfilled. Emmanuel, God is with us. Though it's not completely fulfilled, there's more to come. There's more to come. Jesus said, I return to the Father, and I will come back again. The angel said to the disciples, why are you looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has just left, will return. And so we look forward to that day. Until that day, we have His Spirit within us. For all those who know Christ, we celebrate each Christmas knowing that the Christ who came is the same Christ who is to come again. May each of us know Christ in our hearts. If you're here today and you've not asked Christ into your life, what a beautiful day to do so. On Christmas 2011, to invite Christ to come into your life, to be Emmanuel with you, God with you. Let us pray together. Father, we thank You for the beautiful gift of Your Son. We thank You, Lord, that He was born into this world, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Lord, as we sang that beautiful hymn, born in a manger, Lord, the rough surroundings of a stable, You took on humanity, You humbled Yourself to take on human flesh, that we might know You, that the Father might be revealed, and Lord Jesus, that You might give Your life in sacrifice for our sins. As we have celebrated communion today and celebrated the Christ child being born, we know, Lord, these are events that have happened through Your life and through Your ministry, through Your death and resurrection. And now, Lord Jesus, we look forward to Your return again. For each one that is here today, Lord, I pray that You will move upon their hearts. Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know You, who has not invited You into their life, that they would do so even today. I take a quiet moment. Let's take just a quiet moment. And if you've never invited Jesus Christ into your life, I invite you to do so. By faith, you put your faith in Him, and you invite Him into your life. And if you'll do that, He will come in and He will begin a miracle in your life. We'll take a quiet moment together. Lord Jesus Christ, thank You for being Emmanuel, God with us. We give You the praise and the glory and the honor in Your precious, precious name. And the people of God said, amen. Let's stand and close with the chorus of that beautiful song, O Come, All Ye Faithful. Come, let us adore Him. Let's sing together. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. We give Him all the glory. We give Him all the glory. We give Him all the glory. We give Him all the glory, Christ the Lord. For You alone are worthy. For You alone are worthy. For You alone are worthy. For You alone are worthy, Christ the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you as you go and celebrate Christmas with your family. May you have a wonderful, blessed Christmas. during this day. May we never forget the true reason for the season, Emmanuel, God with us. God bless you all. Merry Christmas.